Could you put up on, is there anybody back there? I can't see. Ephesians 5:14. I see somebody back there. My Bible is actually too small to read till I get my new glasses. And I don't even know if I'll be able to do it then. Is it there? Oh. 14. Okay, I want to do a few verses here. It says, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Wow, sleeping and being dead. And Christ shall give thee light. Give me another verse. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word means you walk with precision. You walk precisely. As I think Pastor Schaller said it today, you walk circumspectly means like walking on a bar, like a something that they use in the Olympics. What do you call those things? I don't know.
Balance beam.
Huh?
Balance beam.
Yeah, and you're walking, and below is cut glass. And you're walking barefoot. And you walk circumspectly. Akribos is the word. And not as fools, but as wise. But give me the next verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen? And I think you mentioned that verse this morning, and I thought about this verse this afternoon. Sometimes they have these really old coins and old bills from countries in different parts of Africa. And I go in there and I say, can I exchange this? And they say, sorry, that stuff is old. We don't use that anymore, so I can't redeem it. And do I get frustrated? No, it's just money anyway. But the Word of God is telling us to redeem the time. And the word actually reflects the word for market, going into the marketplace, the agora, and buying something and then bringing it out. Going into the market of this life, going into the market and purchasing something and then taking it out with you. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not only are the days evil, man is evil. He has an old sin nature. Not only are the days evil and man is evil, but the world is evil. And obviously we also know that the days are evil, man is evil, the world is evil. That's Galatians 1:4. But the devil is evil. So it is like we are living in an atmosphere of evil, but don't fear. Amen? Hello? Okay, he said, is that good news tonight? Don't fear because God is with us. And he says he wants us to redeem the time, to buy it back, the time. Sometimes I get my calculator and I try to figure out how many hours I have left to live. And then, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, come on. God, you could be gone tonight, you know? And it's like, I don't know, just some games I play with calculators, you know? When you're on airplanes and you got nothing to do for 18 hours, you just come up with all kinds of ideas and things to do. But he says, redeem the time. Redeeming the time. And how important this is, that it's so easy for us to maybe not see the importance of time. I think as you get older, right? I think we know it, and there's some people out there that know it. As you get older, like you kind of like think more about the days that you're living in. When you're like 20, 30 years old, you say, I got all this long life to live. And we have an eternal life to live. But you start to think about how we use our days and even our hours. I recognize that we have 168 hours in every week. And if you work 40 of them and sleep 56 of them, there's a lot of time. There's a lot of time. You say, oh, yeah, but I have driving, cooking, and all that. But it's amazing how it's be so easy for me to waste time, and maybe just do something. And, you know, that's not for me to get introspective and analytical in my mind, thinking about the time. But he says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And to walk circumspectly, to walk precisely, to walk with God. And I think that could be one of the great tools of the enemy. Okay, I can't stop you. I tried to stop you from getting saved. But now that you're saved, I think I just go away and leave you alone for the rest of your life. No, that doesn't happen. He would like for us, number one, not to find a good church. Amen, we have a good church. Amen? All right, then he would like for us, if we have a good church, is really to waste time. Just not to use my time accurately, precisely, and correctly. redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so the redemption of the time that we have on this earth, this is so important. Colossians 4:5 says the same thing, to redeeming the time. And how do we redeem the time? He gives you a number of things here. I wrote this down today, how I can redeem the time. And what does that mean, redeeming the time? Number one, I want to walk wisely. I want to have a walk that's based on wisdom. That means I'm listening to the word, I'm studying the word, I'm hearing the word, and then I'm not just hearing it with my ear, but I'm walking in the word with my life. I redeem the time by walking in wisdom, something personal, something precise, walking in wisdom. That's how I redeem the time, walking in wisdom. Number two, I redeem the time by receiving the will of God. Living in the will of God. What's God's will for my life? By the way, we know there's automatics in the will of God, okay? Study your Bible, receive the word, love one another, be spirit-filled. All these things, there's automatics that we know about, foundational automatics in God's will. Be in a church, give the gospel. I want to know every single day, what is God's will for my life? What does that actually mean? I was going one time to the to a conference that might have even been France. I'm not so sure, Pastor Jean. But I was going there, and I think, Pastor Steve, were you with me at that time? I think he was with me. And when I got to the airport, I had my ticket, I had all my luggage, I packed everything, and the Holy Spirit made it very clear, don't get on the plane. So I said, I'm going home. I'm going back to Linda. I'm going back to my house. It was the will of God for me to not fly, even though I was the conference speaker. God, it was like very clear to me, no, no. And there's been very clear yeses. When I thought no, God said yes. When I thought yes, God said no. Redeeming the time means really operating in God's will. What is God's will for my life? And it's interesting that the word of God says the will of God, thelema. Every time you see an M-A at the end of a Greek word, it means the results of God. So living in God's will for my life, what does that mean? I had everything all figured out. My wife and I and our family, we were on the way to Italy to be missionaries. 1984, after graduating from Bible school and getting ordained, Italy! We had actually rented a house in Milan. Can you imagine how large I would be right now if I lived in Italy? With all that pizza and all that food and whatnot, although it's not as good as everybody thinks it is. It wasn't God's will. God's will was where?
Africa.
I never prayed about it. Pastor Stephen said to me one time, would you ever think about it or pray about Africa? I said, no. I'm not praying about it and I'm not thinking about it. No, not Africa. I worked in the inner city my whole life and I'm not going to Africa. You know what? Spent 20 years in Italy, I wouldn't be redeeming the time. I would be wasting the time. Wasting the time. So it's knowing what the will of God is. This is important. Redeeming the time. What is God's will? Operating in God's word with God's wisdom. Knowing God's will. And then we all have an opportunity every day to be spirit-filled. To be filled with the Spirit. See, right after that verse in 5:14, 5:15, 5:16 comes, be filled continuously with the Holy Spirit. How can I redeem the time if I'm not Spirit-filled? That means I come before God, could be every moment of every day, and say, God, search me and know me. I want to confess my sin. I want to agree with you. What's going on and what I'm doing, is it your will or is it something else? That's how I redeem the time. God's will, God's wisdom, God's word, God's will, being spirit-filled, and these are so important. And then he says in Colossians 4:6, speaking a word of grace. That's part of redeeming the time, that the words that we speak to each other, they are words of grace, seasoned with salt. Redeeming the time. How much time, I wonder, in Christianity or in my own life could be just wasted. Just wasted. I used to be able to sit, even when I was saved in the first few years, sit and for 6 hours watch a football game. Now, please don't take that wrong. If you're a Ravens fan, I don't mean you. But I can't sit and watch things anymore for a long period of time. I get bored with it. And I say, what am I doing right now? Am I redeeming the time? I even used to think when I was growing up that sleep was a waste of time. Every night my mother would come in when I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and she'd say, "Are you sleeping, Stephen?" And I would be under the blankets with a flashlight, reading. Well, I had a flashlight, and I was reading comic books, Superman, Aquaman, all those different comic books. And I clicked the light because, "Yeah, I'm sleeping, Ma." You know, I just used to think, well, sleep, I mean, what am I missing when I'm sleeping? Now I have come to realize that he gives his what? Beloved what? Sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. So that verse corrected me. So let's be a people that, as we look at the summer, sometimes we think about the heat, we think about the summer, we think about doing this and doing that. It's very important for all of us, whether it's summer, winter, fall, or spring, to be people who do what? Do what? Redeem the time. Go into the marketplace and buy it back, using it for God, walking with God, praying, thinking with God, reading my Bible, being around the body of Christ, being at church services as much as possible, redeeming the time. Why? I got an evil old sin nature. The world is evil. The devil's evil. Evil is everywhere. Okay? Evil is everywhere. But I redeem the time because what's out there is evil. Father, thank you tonight. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Man is evil, separated from God, he's evil. We have it everywhere. And sometimes he's just trying to give us good things to do that are not God. Just do some good things, but they're not God. Help us to redeem the time, God. We cannot, like with our own ways, figure it out sometimes. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. In Jesus' name, let's walk circumspectly. Amen.
So I wanted to share a testimony from Mark chapter 10, verse 30. I think I'll use the scriptures Pastor Chabelle used also, but let's go to Mark 10 and verse 30. And this is all about God. My intention of sharing the testimony is to glorify God. It's all about God and his goodness to us. We had a beautiful service at 9 o'clock. Oleg shared, and Pastor Chabelle shared. We had communion. I shared a bit, and then at the 11, it was Psalm 32. That message is resonating with me in my heart. I'm not doing it tonight, but boy, if you want to hear a good message, that was Psalm 32, just because of what it says. It was really a good morning. We've been blessed so much, haven't we? We've been blessed with the convention and all our friends and what God has done and is doing. So Mark 10, verse 30. This is in the context of our wedding anniversary. My wife and I got married today, 46 years ago. Yeah. And we were in the lawn in Lenox, and beautiful sunny day. Dr. Stevens married us. Bruce Brown was my best man, Pastor Bruce Brown, and I remember that. The year before, I went with the team to Finland, and I remember very clearly getting on the plane and wondering, let's just go. We're going to Finland. I have no idea exactly how this is going to work, but read chapter 10, verse 30 with me. 29. Well, no, 28. 28. Peter began to say, Lord, we have left all and have followed you. Now, let's give Peter some credit here. He had a fishing business, whether big or small, we don't know. He was a simple fisherman. We know he had a mother-in-law, undoubtedly a wife. He left real valuable stuff. He left his community, left the fishing. He left, and he said, "We have done that, and we have followed you." And then Jesus says, verse 29, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father, mother, wife, or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren." Now, we love reading, and I don't know who could make this promise but God. How could anybody have long life unless God gave it to them? How could anybody have houses and 100-fold the fishing business that you would have if you did not follow Jesus? You do not follow Jesus, you have your boat and you have some fish and a family. But if you follow Jesus, what will you get? And again, I want to emphasize, just to glorify God, my granddaughter was standing here on the stage tonight. And you know that. Where did she come from? I wasn't married when I went to Finland. I didn't know, and we don't know. Can you organize your life? I like that message when you go on the street and ask somebody, ask a young person, 18 years old, can you organize your life? Do you know where you will be when you are 25 or 30? Do you know how to make decisions? Do you know what will happen to you? Do you know how you will? Yes, I have it all planned out. Yes, I have. Many people say, no, I don't. I do not know what will happen to me. Right. None of us do. None of us do. How many missionaries? Wasn't there that brother Borden? Yeah, he died going to the mission field. Wasn't it a tree? Was it a tree that? No, he died of a fever or something. There is another story. A guy going to the mission field, and he was on a boat going up the river. There are people up the river in a village waving, so excited the missionary is coming. And a tree on the bank of the river fell. It fell on the boat and killed the missionary. Wow. I didn't think it worked like that. The guy went to heaven. I don't know. How can we figure this out? But we are able to stand in front of everybody and just say, there are so many people that can say their life enlarged. Our life has enlarged itself. Our life, our hearts have gotten bigger. 2 Corinthians 6:12. Instead of a raisin, a grape shrinking into a raisin, it expands like into a balloon. The hearts of believers. When we lose our life and Jesus comes into our life, and we share the message, and people come. And this is what he said, verse 30. But you receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, in the world to come, eternal life. Yeah. So I remember Dr. Stevens preaching on this verse. This is why I turned to it. I remember it. I remember where I was sitting. I remember as a young man making a decision in my heart. Can I trust Christ with my life? And just say, you know, just say in my heart, I'm doing it, God. I'm trusting you, God. This is what I believe this. You said it. Let's see. I will trust you. The good news about us being alive and being able to say these things from the Bible is that it's not from us. This is from God. This is what God says to us, that if we lose our life, we gain it. And this is a way of redeeming the time, isn't it? By exchanging our life for his. And him saying, I will give you... I was always fascinated when Dr. Stevens would get a phone call. And I mean, this is back in the, you know, this is in the 70s. So, you know, he would get a phone call from somewhere abroad. He would get a phone call and I would think, wow, like somebody from India or from at that time El Salvador would call. And how in his heart he cared. In his heart, he cared. It was like a mission. Let's go into all the world. And at the time, we were in so few places. But it was an increase that was coming from God, because Jesus said, if you will follow me, you will not lack. I will give you stuff. I'll give you mothers. I'll give you sisters, brothers. I'll give you lands, buildings. I'll give you an audience. I'll give you an audience with Caesar or with King Agrippa. I'll put you in the sports power people, Bill Alexson and the NBA players and the stadium in Hungary. I mean, everything, so many things that happened where we had an audience with people. The president of Hungary came to our apartment. In the 1990s, the president of the country came to our school, and in the apartment upstairs, we had a dinner for him and his wife. He was the president of the country. What? Like, I'm just a little guy from Rome, New York, and I don't know anything. I could never figure that. I could have never done it. And then flying to Finland that first year, 1975, as a single guy. And now, 47 years later, flying there, and my granddaughter is marrying to a Finn who I know his mom and dad. And to think that she and they will be married and missionaries in Finland. You know, that's very cool. And my wife and I just look at each other sometimes and we just say, there's no words to explain what has happened in our lives. We're broken by it. We're shocked. We're amazed, because it's not about our family. It's about God and his family. And these Finnish friends that we've known for these decades have been the most amazing people. Wow. You couldn't have more loyal people, serious people, trustworthy people. You know, it's amazing. God gave us friends, brothers and sisters. Then we lived in Sweden, same thing. We were a short time in Sweden. Then we moved to Lenox, and we were 9 years with Dr. Stevens, and Lenox, same thing, and here. Then we moved to Hungary, and the same. I mean, I will give you sisters and brothers. And then we traveled in the former Soviet Republic and went to, yeah, you know the names of all the places because we say them, Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan and Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, all these stans, right? Except Afghanistan, we didn't go there. We didn't go to Pakistan, no, we didn't, or Hindustan, India, yes. But, you know, those people, sometimes I say to the brothers, I go, where did Pastor Gromov come from? Where did he come from? Where did Satellite come from? Where did Mike Plunkett come from? You know, where did Tim Flynn and Janet, where did they come from? These people, where did they come from? They came from this, didn't they? It's the grace of God that has come into our hearts. And this is our life. This is our family. That's why it's hard to drive us out of here. Even though the city of Baltimore tried, it's hard to leave. We'll build a deck or meet on the sidewalk. It's hard for us to stop because we have no interest. Somebody said, do you have plan B? There is no plan B. It's Mark 10:30. It's plan A all the way. It's like give it up and trust. And Jesus will fill us and teach us and give to us. Where did we get the building in Hungary where we've had Eurocon? We own that building. Where did that come from? It came from God because of Mark 10, verse 30. How come I had this Hungarian woman, Margetta? She would meet us at the airport with like a little like cold drink or something. You know, meet us at the airport, and she would give us like a cold drink, and she was so sweet. And, you know, where did she come? She was my mother, and so on. This is Mark 10, verse 30. How about money? One time I went to India, and I realized I had no money. And I had $7, and I was ready at the customs, and I knew they were going to ask me. This was like, you know, not the credit card time, but I just didn't have it, didn't think about it, because I'm always taken care of. Like, I'm taken care of. Somebody will meet me at the airport, and they'll take me to where I go, and this kind of thing. So, but I'm going to have to tell the customs guy, I don't have any money. You came to India, and you don't have any money? I was ready for that. And I thought, this is crazy. This is Mark 10, verse 30. This is a mentality of living. I'm not saying we're to be irresponsible. I'm just saying we get used to living in a certain life where we actually have seen God's goodness pick us up at an airport, put us on a train, help us go to sleep somewhere, have a pulpit. I remember in Poland in the communist days, we rented a house. It was like we just stayed in this big house. There were 25 of us, I think. They said, where do you want to? I said, I can sleep here at the pulpit. I can sleep on the platform. It's okay. So we were all, like the women were sleeping upstairs and the guys are sleeping downstairs. And I just woke up in the morning and just kind of rubbed my face a little bit and then just turned in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And I mean, we slept and preached and slept and ate and slept and preached, and that's how we live. We have so many stories. You could never pay to get the program that we have had. We have had such an amazing program called life. You know, swimming in rivers and lakes and oceans, sleeping in different places, being in places of danger, being protected by God, being provided for by God, living the life of like somebody who has everything but having nothing. But you actually end up having like everything. And you go home and say, Mark 10, verse 30. Jesus did it. Long life, maybe, is going to be given to us. Who knows? But much happens when we put Jesus at the center of everything. It's ridiculous to cheat yourself by not having Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything. He is everything. He will do it. Maybe you're worried about your life somehow, where how it's going to end up, where it's going to go. It isn't happening the way you thought it would, or any number of these things. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It's not about you and me. You will have great reward in heaven. You are honoring your heavenly Father. You are walking in the Spirit. You are redeeming the time. If you share one good message with one lonely person and help them in life, you are benefiting. The kingdom of God is on the earth. It's not far from any one of us. It is in our heart and in our mouth. And the little thing I do when I bring a cup of water to somebody in the name of a disciple has value. Our Heavenly Father knows it. Our 70 years on earth is short. Use your time, redeem it, and enjoy the ride. God is with you. It's beautiful. I lived some years, my wife and I made agreement, we were with Dr. Stevens in figuring out how we would do Hungary. My family was living here in America, and I was going back and forth. I was commuting to work, going to Hungary on the airplane, and staying there one time 4 months without seeing my wife. And Justin was with me at that time that year. He had 1 year with me in Hungary. He was 15 years old, I think. And we had agreed, you know, we were praying, and my wife was amazing because she's like behind me in what we're doing, preaching. And if I had a little whine in my voice, a little whining, like I'm over in Hungary, I'm on the phone, we would find a broken phone where we could make an international call for free. So there would be a line of our team members at that phone, you know, making phone calls. But I would go there to that phone, and I would just say, Lisa, you know, I love you, I miss you, and then say, you know, there's muffins. Are the muffins in the oven? I can smell them. I want one of them. And she'd say, you know, how many souls have you won today? I haven't. That's a good question. What are you doing over there? You know, get with the program. Stop your whining. There's no muffins for you. My wife is so gentle, so precious. You got to know her to know what I mean. We joke a lot, but she is amazing. Like, she loves Jesus. She loves what we're doing. We met in Bible college. It was a meeting from God. It was amazing 46 years ago. And I always tell her, I would never be doing what I'm doing without you. You are behind me. You support me. You love me. You cared for me. You have helped me. We have been fruitful by the grace of God in Mark 10 and verse 30. And I just praise God for that. That's my testimony. My name is Tom Schaller. And I endorse this message. Okay. Would you pray with me, please? I endorse this message. Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you for Mika. Amazing, thank you. Mika and Bensko, wow. Thank you for them. Thank you for Bethany and John and the whole family. Thank you, Lord. The work of grace. There's no way to figure any of this out except your grace. You've answered prayers. You have crowned us with your loving kindness. You have helped us along the way. You have forgiven us a lot. You have forgiven us again and again. You've given us your love and your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the convention we just had. And the people that are believing you and trusting you for these things, Lord. Thank you for how good you are to us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. And there may be somebody here not started your Christian life. Please make a decision. It's in your heart to decide and to believe and do that tonight. And then all of us that are on the road, may we go back to that very fundamental truth that in my pain, like the 11 o'clock service this morning, just please listen to that. In my pain, like David, and when he sinned, in his pain, his pride, his confusion, he turned to you and you restored him. And then for each life in Bible school, in a life of discipleship and faith, and then to send laborers into the fields, Lord, and equip us and teach us kindness, joy and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.